Hello and welcome to ASI Cast number 170. I'm Richard Marks, and our guest today is Karen Halligan, who recently took over as CEO of Austam, the Australian TV currency body. And welcome to the podcast, Karen.
Thank you. Thanks, Richard. Nice to connect with you.
So there's certainly a lot in your in-tray, and obviously our conversation today is going to be Australia focused, but I know it's going to be of great interest to our international listeners, as many of the challenges you face are strongly echoed in other markets around the world, whether it's the drive to cross-platform measurement, the concept of multiple currencies, the desire for outcome measurement, and also against the backdrop of significant falls in Australian TV revenues last year. Now, these are all fairly major challenges, but specifically around the challenges the Australian TV industry faces in terms of revenue and job cuts. That may not affect Austam directly, but clearly it does have implications for your stakeholders. So where does that leave Austam?
Look, it's no surprise that Australia, like most markets around the world, are sort of fronting into fragmentation of consumer viewing and the impact of that on audiences. And then I think in the Australian market as well, we're also fronting into a few other things. So it's the first time we've had sort of harder economic times for quite some time. We've also had, marketing budgets retract a bit. There's a number of different factors. What's happening at the moment is there's probably some green shoots. So I think we've had the worst of it in towards the end of last year, and it's starting to come back. So some of the conversations are saying, yeah, it's starting to improve. In saying that, when it comes to Austam, we are always looking for ways to enhance the service and manage our costs. We're not a profit generating business. We're here to serve the industry. So we need to be really considered around what we do with the money that we've got at our disposal, and how do we make wise choices, and how do we make those deliver the maximum returns. So if the networks are under pressure, it's prudent for us to look into what we're doing and to identify if there are any potential avenues for us to deliver, better value for money.
One of the challenges, obviously, is the situation with regard to Foxtel, which we've got to be a bit careful about how we describe that, because there's been a lot of talk about alt currency, but I think they still are an Austam subscriber, but are very heavily supporting their own service. What's your feeling about the challenge that presents and how Austam interacts with an organization that's both a client and potentially a competitor now?
Well, look, probably a couple of things there. Recently we had a conference, and a lot of the market spoke loud and clear around their desire to have a single currency. So there is a preference for there to be a single currency. In saying that, Foxtel are using their return path data to build out and to look at alternatives. At the moment, agencies are still working with ours and considering theirs. Theirs is still in its formative stages. So they're very much a client of ours at the moment. So I treat the relationship as a client, in essence. And you never know what the future may hold, Richard. Like at some point in time, things may change. We may work more closely together. So I'm sort of going into it in as constructive and as collaborative manner as possible, and working with them as openly. So we are sharing information with them. They're sharing information with us, and we're trying not to get too caught up into some of those details, because the future may take us down a different path, and relationships last a lot longer than certain situations do.
Obviously, what Foxtel have access to is their own return path data. And there's been a tension in currencies over the last 10 to 15 years about whether those return path currencies, return path data sets could be incorporated into the currencies or whether they sit alongside them. I know in the UK that's been discussion for years about whether Sky's data could be integrated into Barb or not, but obviously that presents certain political challenges as well. Does Austam have a view on whether a panel is all there is, or could there be possibilities for integrating other data sets? I guess like you do with VOZ, which we'll come on to in a moment.
So look, at the moment we're having many conversations around the application of big data in augmenting the panel. So panels still have a really strong place. They help you identify the demographic profile in real time. They help us navigate that large collection of information, and they also strip out nuances from individual data sources. So, for instance, if you're working with a data source that comes that tends to skew to an affluent household, it may give a different outcome than perhaps, you know, more mainstream Australia. So the panels still play a role in all of that, but are we exploring other sources of information? Yes. Are we open to working with Foxtel with their stuff? Yeah. Are we also talking to other big data players, ACR companies and the like? Yeah, we're definitely in conversations with them to explore what the future can hold.
Now, I mentioned VOS, which is the, I mean, you can explain more about it, but it's the integrated measurement of broadcaster VOD. And those of our listeners who attended the ASI conference in Nice back in November 22 had a preview of VOS, and it launched at the beginning of this year. So can you give us some background on what it is and also particularly how it's been used and accepted by clients?
Okay, so basically, VOS captures total viewing for us in Australia. So it captures the television audiences, it captures BVOD, it also captures regional Australia. So it gives us a national view around the performance of different programming, and it brings all of that together into a demographic profile. It's a very, very large data set. It pulls reference in from BVOD around about, I think it's like 16 million devices around the country. So you can imagine it's quite a cumbersome, large data set that we're working with. And we've managed to optimize that into delivering overnight audience information out into the market. So how's it going? I think the big thing is that it's kind of a year of change. Like, it's not a moment. So we're not kind of going a hard transition swap over to VOS's currency. There's a stage gate approach to how we actually do that to make sure that we bring the industry along the journey with us. We changed transitioning to public reporting to VOS numbers at the beginning of the year, and we did a big change management program around how we reported that, how people could read and understand the information. We've then got the third-party software suppliers all going through gold standard certification so that they can actually run that, and they're in a lot of the agencies now. So most of those parties have actually got access to VOS, have been gold standard certified, and agencies can have a look at the data and work with the data in their workplace. And we know that agencies are starting to use that quite a bit for planning purposes, which is really great because it actually helps people understand the opportunity that exists beyond BVOD and linear in a more holistic fashion. Moving on from there, the next step is just how do we work with other partners around invoicing and the tracking of buying and trading. So we're working very closely with MediaOcean around how does it integrate into agency systems. And then we've got a SteerCo where we meet with the Media Federation for Australia to work with agencies around change management to move it towards the formal currency and what does it mean for their workflows, for their clients that may be under pitch consultants and or other sort of commitments that they need to adhere to, and the like. So it's kind of a program of change. It's not a moment of change, if that makes sense. So to talk about how people are using it right now, people are at different scales of the journey, dependent on what tools they've got at hand and how they're applying that into it. What's been really exciting is there's a lot of interest around this. There's also a lot of talk around it being built and being ready and the change management and the challenges of change. So we're just trying to do our best to help people navigate their way through to get to a good outcome at the end of this year.
You mentioned data from millions of devices. Presumably you're getting server data from the broadcasters themselves. Are you incorporating ad server data as well?
We're getting data from a bunch of different sources, but we have the SDK data that comes out from the broadcasters, and we know what that's going on with the ad server data. That's part of the VOS streaming. So with VOS streaming, we'll get supply side and we'll get the SSP and DSP as part of the workflow for VOS streaming, and through that, we'll be working with clients around third party data matching and other opportunities that we can bring into this as we move forward.
So you're going to be measuring content and advertising for BVOD and linear, which is quite a step forward, because a number of other markets have cracked measuring content on streaming. But, I mean, you know, a number of markets, there are C-flight type initiatives going on to measure ad servers and advertising specifically. And in the UK, more recently, CFlight has been merged back into BARB. But I guess in your case, you're doing all that within the currency from the start.
Well, it works well. Not exactly from the start. So it's part of the migration towards VOS streaming, which is what's being built at the moment.
Good. Okay, that definitely makes sense. Yeah. And what's VOS showing about those total audiences? Because now you're able to look at reach and frequency across linear and BVOD and look at total audiences. Is VOD making up for the lost linear audiences?
Look, not in every situation. So, look, you can't pretend that there's a fragmentation going on in the household with time spent in different streaming areas. So, you know, would it completely offset that and keep television numbers the same? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. In some cases, we do see evidence of that. So with some of the sport, when we bring it all together, we can see the comparable numbers. With some of the reality TV shows that sort of happen in sort of near real time or real time, we see comparable numbers to the past. But what it does do is it allows us to actually give a holistic picture of what's going on. Mm. It also allows the map reach, which we weren't working with before. We were working with average audience, so we can actually understand the size and scale of which the assets actually can capture from an audience point of view, and it allows us to do that on a national picture. So previously, I think people like to fixate on, you know, key items or examples. So if we go, and I've got an example here, like, you know, Gladiators did a, you know, only 199,000, you know, for an episode. With VOS, the total reach figure is 852 and average audience is 336. So that captures all of the viewing that was there. What was happening in the market was, you know, competitive media channels reporting on the reach number, so their biggest number. We were reporting on average audience at a metro level, and we weren't including BVOD, regional, or some of these other areas. And people were making assumptions around the performance of broadcast television that weren't actually really reflected by what was going on.
I think that you're highlighting that example. One of the big challenges around this, I think, is that people still fixate on overnights, however much they're told not to. And the main, you know, because that's what gives the headlines, whereas you have to wait quite a while. In the UK, BARB is publishing 28-day consolidated ratings, which are seeing some quite significant differences, even building on the 1 week audience.
Yeah.
But what makes the headlines is what happens last night and how you educate journalists to be patient, because if they are patient, 28 days after a program's gone out, it's just not news anymore. So I think that is
no,
a challenge, isn't
but
it?
We are fronting into that to some extent, though, because what we do is we make available the information overnight, but at a national aggregate perspective for TV, regional, and BVOD. We also then provide plus seven so that they can see the performance over time. We also give cumulative audience by day to give a sense of scale of how many people are watching broadcast television. So we're trying to give multiple data points to the trade so that they can tell a more holistic story. And we did a big change management program around this where we actually met up with every individual trade publication one-on-one and spent time saying, this is how you read the new data. This is what it actually means. This is the best way to represent that information. And we have found that the way that people are reporting back in the main has actually improved and has actually helped us capture the true reflection of what's going on as opposed to what was previously happening before, which was a smaller number.
Mm. The other phenomenon, I don't know how common it is in Australia, I think ABC may do it, is putting some content up on VOD before it's broadcast as, you know, previewing series. Is that something you're measuring? I've got any insights about?
We capture, in the way that we capture the information, we capture live stream and then the on-demand view. So it does capture that. And as it takes a direct feed from the broadcasters, it will capture that and connect it to the program. So it's probably the way that we've built this means that it allows or provides for that to be captured in the audience numbers, and the way that it's captured as in what's live and then what's on demand or a different view, it's tagged in a certain way so that we know that we're dealing with the right reference points that we can't stack the deck, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. I mentioned Foxtel earlier on, and one of their initiatives have been something called the Video Futures Collective, which is them reaching out to perhaps non-standard purveyors of video outside of the broadcast realm. And certainly in the UK, Barb now includes Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, and Disney, who've also joined just last week Thinkbox, which is the UK equivalent of Think TV. Is that something Oztam will be willing to accept as key members of the Oztam group if they were up for it?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. So 3 days into my new role, I had a strategy day with the board, and we talked about what we wanted for the future of Oztam and where we saw it all going. And, you know, we at that point in time, everyone expressed an openness to bringing more parties in, to capturing total video, and to working with the broader industry around how do we measure and allow for and provide services at a more holistic level, because there's some real merit in everyone working together as opposed to duplicating investments in technology, platform developments, et cetera. So we're having conversations with the same people mentioned in the Video Futures Collective. We've also been making investments over the last couple of years. So we've been installing streaming TV meters in the country. We're getting to a reasonable size. So we've kind of behind the scenes been building the infrastructure to support some of the entry of those players into our system. And we're having conversations with some of them around how that might actually work. So the Video Futures Collective at the moment is the teams, those teams getting together to discuss, I think it was three primary issues. One was how do they name things, and a couple of other things. So how do they navigate? How do they tell their story? I don't remember exactly what it was, Richard, but they're not tackling currency in the Video Futures Collective. They're not providing measurement solutions. Just Foxtel's creating their own at this point in time. So I believe there's still room for us all to be working with the different players in the interests of video in totality.
I mean, one of the other focuses around the world, and I'm sure in Australia, is cross-platform and cross-media measurement. And at our conference in Nice last November, Ipsos previewed a service which integrates Oztam BVOD data into Iris, which is the online currency, which is an interesting first step towards, I guess, wider cross-media measurement. But that will allow people to look across BVOD and online display and other online video. It seems an important move to me. How does the relationship work in practice between you and Iris in terms of who does what and how that goes to market?
Look, we have a really constructive relationship with them. So and with Gay at the IAB as well. So I've known Gay for many, many years, and our team have been working with them on that. So we did a program of work with them to understand what they wanted to do. For us, it's really important that if we've built all of this, we've got real actual data direct from devices. If any information is going to be out in the public domain, our view is it's better that we put out the data from the 16 million different unique devices that we actually have than someone doing a quant survey or an alternative and trying to guess it to what it actually is. So, you know, there's some real merit in us actually making sure that what we do have, because we know it's so extensive, is accurately represented. In relation to how the relationship works, it's been really, really constructive. So they shared with us what they were hoping to do, what they did as part of their tender when they changed providers for the Internet Advertising Bureau in Australia, and what their ambitions were. And we've been working with them to identify what we can do with them now and what we might do with them into the future. From my end, I'm a, you know, previously ran the media advisory and the CMO advisory at KPMG. I feel very passionate around us working with clients to help them understand where their investments can deliver better return. I think it's in the interests of everyone in the industry at large. We've got to stop focusing on who's moving money from outdoor to TV to radio and start realizing that money's migrating to technology platforms, to other resources, to marketing technology, to, you know, large CRM systems, And that's probably a greater risk than us working together as a collective to help people make smarter media decisions.
Mm. That sounds like a very good positive point to end our chat on. We'll put a note in the show notes linking to that Ipsos paper and also the paper around VOS that we had, so people can look back on those. And hopefully we'll be getting updates on those at our conference in November, at which we hope to see you. So
I am coming over. You've picked a lovely location, I must confess. So when Mark Buckman said, by the way, I'd really like you to go to this conference, and I was like, where is it? He said Venice. I went, okay.
It's a venue we've been at before, which was very popular. Yeah. So I'm sure you and listeners are able to get over there. We'll really enjoy it and get some good intellectual stimulation as well. So in the meantime, thanks for joining us.
No problem. I'm very interested in connecting in with the community because my background, you know, I worked in agency on the publisher side as a client for a number of years and then as consultant. It's my first time in pure measurement and I don't know as many people. So I look forward to creating networks, really.